Welcome, and thank you for joining us for the service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the August 10th, 2025 service at Plymouth, the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank. Mighty One, have delivered our souls from death.
God, our hearts are grateful.
You, Mighty One, have fashioned all our hearts.
In God, our hearts are glad.
You, Mighty One, are our help and shield.
In God, our hearts are full of joy.
Let us worship the One in whom we trust.
Let us worship the Mighty One.
Next is the hymn, God of Grace and God of Glory. Next is the hymn, Seek Ye First.
Thank you.
first reading this morning is from Psalm 33, verses 12 through 22. Listen to what the Spirit is telling the church. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all humankind. From where he sits enthroned, he watches all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. A king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a vain hope for victory, and by its great might, it cannot save. Truly, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his steadfast love to deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and shield. Our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. This is the word of the Lord. Next is the hymn, How Firm a Foundation.
Our scripture reading this morning is found in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3 and 8 through 16. I've been preaching a series through the epistles of the New Testament. Our journey through the readings of the epistles now finds us in the book of Hebrews, in the chapter of faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. Dropping down to verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he stayed for a time in a land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For Abraham looked forward to the city that has a foundation, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, with Sarah's involvement, he received power for procreation, even though he was too old, because God considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, for one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many of the stars of heaven, and as innumerable as the grains of sand by the seashore. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that we are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have returned to that area in opportunity. But as it is, they desired a better homeland, that is, a heavenly homeland. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, God has prepared a city for them. This is the word of the Lord. By this chapter, we are told we move by faith. People of faith, we trust in God, and therefore we move. So you think Christ called you to be one of his disciples, one of his followers? Well, guess what? Fasten your seatbelts. Put on your oxygen masks as you attempt to help others. Prepare to relocate. Hit the road. Prepare to believe the impossible. Jesus is notorious for taking people places they never thought they would go. I stand before you as one who is such a one, caught in God's grasp, taken where I didn't believe I would go. As a high school student, wherever God said, I'm going to send you, I was going the opposite direction. But I must say that you cannot outrun the prayers of a faithful grandmother and mother. Good luck with that plan. I remember on the basketball court praying to God, if you'll just get me through this tough basketball practice, I'll go to church every day, not intending to fulfill that promise, but hoping that God would come through just the same. I got through that practice, and guess what? I'm in church every Sunday. I didn't expect to be here. I did not plan to be here. But Jesus had other plans for me. And Jesus has the same kind of plans for you, ones that will surprise you. And so I say, buckle up, get your oxygen mask, and prepare to go where you didn't think was possible, or you wouldn't have chosen on your own at all. That's the Jesus we meet in the Gospels, walking, teaching, moving, stirring people up, assigning tasks well beyond their ability, introducing them to people that they might have otherwise avoided. And yet, what a ride. Following Jesus, for you and I, will be stretched, will be tested, will be challenged and changed. And you and I, yes, we will be taken places we physically, emotionally, and even spiritually, we wouldn't choose for ourselves. But if we're going to follow Jesus, you better pick up the pace. One of the greatest surprises in my life is how hard it is to keep up with Jesus. I grew up in a tradition, a religious faith that the denomination in 1,000 years had only made one basic change, and that was that the worship service would no longer be said in Latin, but now would be said in English. And instead of the priest standing at the altar and preaching and speaking to the wall, the priest turned around and faced the people. That was the biggest change in the life of the Roman Catholic Church that I grew up in. Going to that church, it was comforting to think that things didn't change. There were bolted down pews, the ponderous pulpit that messages were spoken, preached from, the hymns that nobody but us sang. 1 hour a week, you went in, did your religious duty, and you were free for the rest of the week to do whatever. It offered stability in a world that otherwise was unpredictable. As a young person, I held on to that. But that is not Jesus. He doesn't stay where we put him. He doesn't bolt himself to the floor and stay put day in and day out. You'll find Jesus in the third pew. No, let's do the first pew because Mark sits there. You won't find Jesus in the same place every Sunday. It's as Karl Barth, the theologian, said, Christians go to church to make our last stand against a living, unsettling God. Ooh, well said. People come singing, just as I am, but Jesus never leaves us that way, does Jesus? No, we're not left as we once were. Karl Barth said it in German this way, Gott nimmer ruht. He said, God never rests. He's right. Become a Christian? Prepare to be changed. Follow Jesus? Get ready to relocate. The foundation of our Christian faith is not a fixed worldview. It is not stone sanctuary. But Christ alone, the way, the truth, and the life, the truth isn't a proposition. The truth is a person. A person always on the move. Truth has feet. Follow me, Jesus says. And off he goes. And we must follow. That's why when we turn to the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews describes the faith of people in earlier generations as pilgrims. They are people on the move. Take, for example, Abraham and Sarah. Called by God, they journeyed to a land that they didn't even know where they were going to. They picked up and followed. They left everything familiar, setting out with nothing but a promise, I will do this for you. I will do this in you. I will do this through you. And for them, they never saw the city that God promised, not in their lifetime, but they lived a faith, a type of faith that it was okay that they didn't see it yet. So living faith doesn't mean denying reality. It means trusting that there is more reality than what we can measure, what we can weigh, because faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Faith is the conviction of things not seen. Let me tell you a story. After Walt Disney died, someone visited Disney World. And as they looked at its magnificence, and it is beautiful, they said, isn't it a shame that Walt Disney didn't see this? And that's when Mike Vance, the creative director that worked right alongside Walt Disney, said, he did see it. He did see it. That's why it's here. before one nail was driven, before one ride was built and made mobile. He saw it. In his imagination, he saw it. He saw it before anyone else did. Now the world scoffs at that kind of vision. So clear in one mind, and yet not here in reality yet. But we know better. We know that faith always sees what is next. That's how God works. God sees things before we do. As you drove into the parking lot today, what did you see? We have plenty of parking. We have two buildings. What did you see as you pulled into the parking lot, parked your car? You may have seen things as they were when we had a full choir loft, when we had a music director, when we had classrooms and classes. You may have seen what was. You may have seen what is. The building still stands. We who fill these pews part way don't fill them all the way. As you leave this service, I want to ask that question again. What do you see when you are in the parking lot and leaving these two buildings? I want to challenge you to be more like Walt Disney, seeing what is yet to be, seeing what God can plan to do with what is here. It's tempting to think that only what we can test, what we can taste, something we can touch, is all that is real. But the most enduring realities are often the least tangible. Jesus is always pioneering ahead, and we are called to follow. We're not here to nail down or explain Jesus, try to fix him in place for you and me and say, there's my comfortable Jesus, stay put. Because Jesus doesn't stay put. We're on a journey. Jesus is pioneering the way. And what God is doing in our midst is not completed yet. I didn't plan to spend my career in front of a congregation preaching Sunday after Sunday. But look what God can do with then an unrepentant teenager and now a more humble man. Look what God is doing through you, touching this community, touching and shaping this world. You reach far beyond your fingertips, far beyond the reaches of the boundaries of this community. So, my job as a preacher isn't to fix Jesus for you in place. It's to give you what you need for the journey. As you prepare to follow him through your life and because of your faith in him. And as you journey, to help you practice not resenting the journey that you're on. I'm here to equip you for movement, to help you say each morning, "Tell me again, Jesus, what have you got planned for me today?" I learned that phrase from my mother, my praying mother, whose prayers would not let me go. I say it that way because when we wake up in the morning, we're preparing another day to walk with Jesus, where things shift. Sometimes your circumstances shift, unexpected illness, job changes, family upheaval. Sometimes the Holy Spirit does the shifting just because that's what the Spirit of God does. You're pulled out of baptismal water and given an unsettling command. Follow, go, move, be changed. The Spirit descends and you become a nomad of the mind of the Spirit. You become an itinerant disciple, a follower of Jesus where Jesus is going. You'll know when Jesus is calling, when you're being led to somewhere hard, risky, or even absurd. When someone asks you, "What are you doing here?" you can say, truthfully, honestly, "Ask Jesus." And frankly, that's not a cop-out. It's a confession of faith. I'm here because Jesus sent me. I'm here because Jesus pulled me. I'm here because where else would I be? Jesus is Lord. The main assignment of the Christian life is to let go of the delusion of control and allow yourself, myself, to be carried by the mercy of God into places we never thought we'd go. And the church's job is to make you and I feel settled even when it feels unsettling. The church is here to help you move when Jesus moves. Get ready to go. Keep a bag packed. Buckle up. Put oxygen masks on. We are inheritors of the Abraham and Sarah story. We are pilgrims, pioneers, voyagers on the road of faith. And what sustains us isn't certainty. No. What sustains us is trust, our hope, our belief in a God who says, "I'll never let you go. I'll be there with you, around the corner, over that hill, in that deep valley, that valley of death. I will be there." It is trust. It is a trust that God sees what we cannot see. Trust that God is real. And because of that, the promises that God made to Abraham and Sarah, the promises God makes to us, are real, even when they seem delayed. This seeming tardiness of God, says J. Harry Colt Cotton, is the best, most severe test of faith. But faith waits. Faith believes. Faith hopes. Getting back to the Abraham and Sarah story. Eventually, Sarah did laugh. You see, she was promised in her old age, you're going to be in the nursery soon. And she laughed. "That's impossible. All my equipment has shut down years ago. That can't happen to me." She laughed. And then she bore a son in her old age. And they named him Isaac. Laughter. Great joke. She said, "God has made me laugh, and everyone who hears my story that I bore a son in my old age will laugh with me. This can't happen." And yet it does. She was right. So today, to you who have said, "Yes, I will follow Jesus," to you who have said, "Yes, I will pick up my cross daily and follow you," let me bless you. Let me bless you for taking that risk. Let me bless you for saying yes to Jesus. Bless you for stepping into the future even when the destination is unclear. Let me bless you for trusting the unseen and not yet promise of God who stirs, who speaks, and who moves. The next time you get that gut feeling that God is leading you somewhere strange, somewhere new, don't be surprised. You're in good company. You've got a lot of company in that department. Abraham and Sarah. Paul, the Apostle Paul, young Timothy with him. Yes, them too. Peter. Yes, and Mary also. They all said yes, not knowing the full plan. They moved by faith, believing, hoping, trusting. And so do we. So tomorrow, when you first open your eyes and you rise from bed, I hope you'll pray something like this. Jesus, where are we going today? I probably wouldn't go there on my own, Jesus. But if you're going, count me in. Count me in. Because we move by faith. Mountains are moved by faith. Amen.
Next is the hymn, Praise Ye the Lord, the Almighty. Next is the hymn, For All the Saints.
Thank you.
as we end our worship service today. My friends, go in peace to love the Lord your God and love your neighbors as yourself. Amen.